We welcome you to the Lutheran Prayer Hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O
Thank you.
A reading from Luke chapter 18. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus cleared the temple last Sunday, saying, "My Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all people." Today, then, we have his story about two men doing just that, a Pharisee and a tax collector, who go up to the temple to pray. So, is this a story about prayer, or about going to church? Or is it about something deeper like faith? Or is it about salvation itself? Well, the answer is yes to all of these. Luke introduces this story by saying Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, contempt. But Jesus himself ends it with the words that this tax collector went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. To be righteous or to be justified means to have a right standing before others, and here it means before God himself. This is the key question, the most fundamental that we have. Am I right with God? It's not a trivial matter. Those who deny that there is a God at all do so to avoid this very question. Cain's murder of Abel and the argument with God boiled down to this also. I am not my brother's keeper. That is to say, I'm not at fault here, God. I'm in the right. Now, why does this matter? It matters because you know people are in great danger of ending up like that Pharisee, not justified. It matters because you know people that belong here, belong in church, but aren't. And because you yourself fall under the very same question. Are you right with God? How can you be? And here's where the parable should shake us up, because it condemns us and sends home unjustified, unrighteous, wrong with God, damned, everyone who trusts in themselves. Everyone who believes that they are righteous and free from judgment. And when you go and speak with your friends and your neighbors, and when you talk with your own children, most often you will hear them say just that. I'm fine. I'm right with God. Leave me alone. And to our shame, you and I have believed them and agreed and found ways to justify that answer also. Pastors probably know this best, but only because we wear around our necks walking advertisements that we speak for God. It's always the case that people who meet preachers seem more interested in talking than listening. It's interesting, isn't it? They are eager to come up to me and to tell me why they are righteous. That is, they begin to make justifications for themselves. The first way that they're righteous is that they do not go to church, you see. There's usually some thanking of God that they are not like other men, particularly the hypocrites like me, who do this or that. And then they are superior worshipers because they stand off by themselves. They appreciate what really matters, usually the outdoors or their family time. And the second way they are righteous is that they pray. In fact, they seem to pray all the time, according to their stories. Thirdly, they will insist to me that they have faith, and that being in church has nothing to do with faith. Some mention good deeds, no doubt, but I don't hear that as much. I hear much more often the story about their friend who has a real problem and how they feel sorry for them, but they're still not falling into that. The conclusion, though, is obvious. They are right with God. Just look at me, Pastor. And we don't have an answer to that, do we? We kind of believe them. Hypocrites bother us too. We have many good reasons why going to the temple is not as important. I mean, we can pray anywhere, can't we? We can worship and we can praise God in the fishing boat too. Isn't it better appreciation to thank God that we are not like other men? Kidnappers and murderers, terrorists, black people, racists, or the talking heads in Washington? Family is what really matters. Family is what makes us belong. Well, dear Christians, dear hearers, maybe some of you even out there on the fishing boats, all of this shows that the Lord is telling this parable to you and to me. He is saying that I am the one who trusts in myself that I am righteous. And that, of course, this always leads me quickly into treating others with contempt. We can be uncannily like the Pharisees, whether it's thinking that family blood makes for church membership and eternal salvation, or that prayer finally is about ourselves, or that the goal of faith is to no longer be in need of God and His Word or other Christians, but to become self-sufficient. Repent. Repentance is where righteousness is found. Repentance is how you can be right with God. And repentance has two parts. First, the terrors that strike your conscience because of the knowledge of your sin, of your failure, of your false self-righteousness. And two, faith that looks outside of yourself to Jesus Christ for undeserved mercy. To be justified not by your excuses or deeds or attitudes at all, but to be justified by His grace as a gift. To be propitiated, to be atoned for. To have your evil paid for by Jesus' blood instead of your own. And to be the one who is in greatest need, but to whom He delivers. Faith is not believing that God exists. Faith is trusting in God's promises. The tax collector goes down to his house justified, right with God, by this kind of faith. His prayer gives us a window into true faith. It begins with his great need, as he speaks honestly about himself. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But this wonderful prayer also includes a great confession of what he trusts in about God and why. Because he says, be propitious to me. He says, expiate my sins. He says in that little word, mercy, pay for my debt, Lord. Make me right by your efforts, God. And the word used here is the same word as the mercy seat that is on the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the place where the blood was sprinkled to atone for the sins of Israel. It is the name that is given to Jesus in the New Testament, whose blood covers over the accusations of the law against us, who declares of those who are not right before God by their merits, I forgive you. I declare you to be right with me, not by what you have done, oh no, but by what I have done for you. So why pray? Not to boast to God about what you love more than you love him, but to ask, to be before him in the posture of faith, ready to receive from God and perhaps even bold enough to demand it from him, because he has promised it to you in Christ. Why go to church? Why be at the divine service? Well, because saving faith is faith that trusts what Jesus says. It grasps and it receives what Jesus gives, and it longs to be right with God. And faith recognizes that apart from God, I am not right with him. I am not right in any other way than by Jesus coming and giving it to me, declaring it to me. Thus, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, first of all. Perhaps even we have had the wrong idea about church. In the Old Testament, people came to the temple, the church, I suppose, because it was the place where God was propitious. It was the place where God was gracious, merciful, and forgiving to them. It was the place where the blood was shed, where the blessing was given, where the promises that create faith were proclaimed, where God was present and known to them. In such faith, the tax collector is found in today's parable at the temple, and in such faith, he is justified. So, in the New Testament, the time we live in now after Christ, we go to wherever the word is proclaimed in spirit and in truth, in the company of sinners. No further sacrifice is needed in our day, but we simply come to where the propitious blood is poured out for us. We come to be justified. Because on our own, we most certainly are not. The fundamental question is real. How am I right with God? How am I right before him? And the answer is, only in Jesus Christ, in his mercy and forgiveness, from his propitiation, his atoning sacrifice. He is the true mercy seat. And you, I, your children, your neighbors, all need him. Not everyone who prays, and yes, even those who pray at the temple and in the church building. Not everyone who prays goes down to their houses justified, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. Now, where are the people running to boast of that to their pastor? Where are all those sinners running up to say, hey, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for my sins, preacher. He is my mercy seat. He has taken my sin to give me his righteousness. In our depth of degradation, he had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. Well, thanks be to God, you know where to find such people. They are found in church, listening to his word. God preserve you who are hearing it now in his saving faith. And may this drive you always to seek out the means of grace that deliver Jesus Christ, the mercy seat, to you. And God humble all those who are missing from his house, that they together with us may be exalted only and entirely in the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, on account of whom we are indeed right with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Seraphim and seraphim come to you.
fellowship of the brothers.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Lutheran Prayer Hour is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Lutheran Churches of the Missouri Synod in the Wahpeton-Breckenridge area. This morning's broadcast was conducted by the Reverend Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Gray Bend and Peace Lutheran Church in Barney. If you have no church of your own, we extend a cordial invitation to worship with us at one of our congregations. You can find a list of all of our Southeast North Dakota Circuit churches at sendlcms.org. That's sendlcms.org. If you have any questions regarding the Bible or the Lutheran Church or any comment regarding this morning's broadcast, kindly address them to KBMW 605 Dakota Avenue, Wahpeton, North Dakota, 58075. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.